Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And 'twas on the final fateful night that brave Amber and the short King Greg did triumph over Tommy Fury and Molly May of Tall Bun.
Oh yes, my favourite of the Arthurian legends.
Welcome to the 17th and final episode of Vice's Love Island. I'm Lauren O'Neill, staff writer at Vice.com.
And I'm Emma Garland, features editor at Vice.com. Vice's Love Island was, R.I.P., the best and most loyal source of unofficial, non-ITV-affiliated Love Island chat for the duration of Season 5.
As I've said, this is our last episode, and what I just really want to say is I'm so happy that we live in a world where Greg and Amber won Love Island.
I genuinely can't remember the last time I witnessed a public vote and I didn't want to cry immediately afterwards. Maybe Labour will win a general election after all.
We can always pray.
Cancel Brexit.
Yeah. But before we get to the greatest victory since Gemma Collins getting through this first round of Celebrity MasterChef, huge, we've got a wealth of really good stuff, including Parents' Day and the Love Island prom. So I think we should rewind for our final raunchy recap of 2019's, like, sexy but crying about it. So on Friday's episode, before any of this happened, before it was a glint in anyone's eye, we saw Belle and Anton and Molly and Tommy going on their date. And again, this just like shows the disparity. Belle and Anton got to go in a helicopter, which is sick. And then Tommy and Molly just like sat at a table in a fancy room.
Yeah.
Why do they do this? Like, why doesn't everyone?
I don't know. But I like that they've got the four different kinds of dates and everyone sort of knows what they are.
But
beforehand.
There aren't four different kinds of dates. There's like a fun date where you get to go on a yacht or a helicopter, which is banging.
Yeah.
And then you go on one where you just sit at a table and someone does something weird next to you. Like.
Yeah, I mean, three of them are the romance dates and one of them is, like, the activity date.
It's not fair.
Maura and Curtis and Molly Mae and Tommy had dancing. That was their activity.
That sucks.
Unfortunately, Ovi, who deserves so much more, had to endure someone doing fire poi behind him.
Yeah, I just put them all on a yacht, which is way better. Like, the table dates. Sorry, I am really going on about this, but, you know, the table dates are the same things that they do for them all the way through.
Yeah.
So why don't they get to do something good?
Well, this is different, Lauren, because it's a table date with, like, someone doing something crap in the background.
I don't want to listen to harp at the best of times.
My theory with those is that these people can't actually play the instrument either. It's just, like, some member of the production cast that's, like, pretending to play the harp and they're just playing music over it.
Yeah, potentially. I wouldn't be surprised. But I feel like the show has the budget, certainly, to be sending everyone on, you know, helicopter rides.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they just have loads of money to blow at the end of it and they're like, oh fuck, let's just hire a boat, I suppose.
Well, that's fine, but do it for everyone. Socialism, please. Love Island. And then while Belle and Anton were away on their date, which was helicopter, as I've said. I really want to go in a helicopter. The boys were set some fun challenges in order to win a party. They do this every year, and it's always one of my favourite things that they do on the show, which is where either the boys or girls get texted, and they have to do secret missions and, like, trick everyone else in the villa. And it's what the show is always missing. Like, this show needs the fuel of banter.
Yeah,
and
really
should do some stuff like this more. Like, Greg having to get Maura to say Fanny Flutters, like, three times is so good. She also admitted in that conversation that she made her mother join a group chat called Fanny Flutters, which is just a great piece of information.
Yeah, and now having seen her mother, I understand
exactly
why this
exactly
is fine.
And yeah, Ovi hid Ellie Belly in a tree, and Curtis was actually being quite funny and making India and Molly change their clothes.
Oh my god. Yeah, he was like...
It was like Gokwan or something, wasn't it?
I saw a future in him as like a really savage TV presenter.
The new Trini and Susanna, yeah, him and like Tommy.
So they successfully did all of these secret missions.
Yeah.
Which means that they won a party.
Which is so meaningless. It's so meaningless to win a party. Because
a cocktail party.
You have to go outside on the night anyway.
I think when they successfully win something, they get an upgrade to a cocktail.
I see.
So it's like, it's literally like pellet pushing. They're just like, hit the button and then you get the cocktail.
Yeah. Pavlovian.
Yeah. At said party, as always, whenever they're rewarded with something, it's swiftly taken away by something cruel. So then the couples had to each choose another couple to nominate for the public vote. And up for the vote were Curtis and Maura, Belle and Anton, and Ovi and India. But the Islanders didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. So meanwhile, the next day it was business as usual for the Love Island end days. And despite the absence of the lie detector, which is probably merciful, to be fair, everyone's parents showed up, which is one of the best episodes of the whole year. Lots of good dynamics there.
Oh, my God. I don't know
you
where
can tell
to begin.
That Curtis's mum is a dance mom, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
I really thought that. It really came through. The sort of, like, mom who would, like, go speak to the dance teacher at the end of the lesson if she thought her boys weren't being given a good role.
Yeah.
I really felt that. My favourite parent was Maura's mum. Maura's mammy.
My mammy.
Her mammy, who, when Maura asked if she liked Curtis, she was like, well, I'm sure you see something in him.
Honestly, I think my favourite moment of the entire series was Maura's mammy meeting Curtis for the first time, giving him a hug, like a really just sort of quick hug, and then letting him go and running to Ovi saying, there's the man I want to see.
Yeah, honestly, it was amazing. Although, I feel like she speaks for mums everywhere. The mums love Ovi, man.
My mum wanted Ovi to win. She was
just
really
on his own.
Yeah, she was really disappointed that
he
didn't.
Was she actually?
Yeah.
Aww.
She texted me a sad face.
Aww. I mean, we'll get to it, but as much as he was so beloved, I don't think he was going to win. Mm. I also love Belle's dad, fairly obviously.
Oh,
he was
great.
Just very, like, I'm going to take Anton for a very long drive in the car and put the fucking frighteners on him. I mean...
And just sort of wheeled him around the villa like
was
he
great.
Was...
It was great. He was very good.
Gonna threaten to cut his balls
but
off or
lots
something.
Of entertaining characters. Also, Anton's mum, who has become sort of a meme and has fairly sinisterly recorded a rap.
Yeah,
it's probably gonna like ride it all the way to the Christmas number one, I'd imagine. In all, yeah, a good episode. I love it when the parents come in.
Yeah,
it's always
same.
Really funny.
It always like explains so much.
Yes,
I feel like any questions I have about
them
are clarified
within like 2 minutes of footage as well. It's like, oh, that's how it is.
Yeah,
that's why you're like that. So obviously everyone's riding high from the parents, but then later that night Flack showed up to ruin everything. Kind of as usual, unfortunately. And she brought the bad news that one couple of the three nominated would be leaving, and that turned out to be Belle and Anton.
Yeah.
Which I kind of thought was going to happen, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's just because they're sort of, like, well enough liked and, like, integral enough, but there was, like, just such an obvious, like, trajectory for people like Molly and Tommy.
Yeah,
Molly
exactly.
May and Tommy, obviously,
exactly.
Who weren't going to go.
But neither Belle nor Anton was quite beloved enough, unfortunately. Even though I really liked Belle and think Anton is fine, I just feel like, yeah, they didn't have that little, like, edge, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The next day was the final, which meant that it was Love Island prom day, which is the shittest tradition on the show. To go from the parents to that always really does, like, bring me fucking down. Like,
yeah.
It's crap.
Yeah.
All the girls get an ill-fitting dress. The men wear suits and everyone reads why they like their partner off a sheet of paper. They also bizarrely have to perform a dance routine, which is undignified for everyone, in particular Curtis.
Yeah, it's gross. It's like graduation from the villa.
I don't like it, if it wasn't clear. The Love Island prom sucks.
They should get awards. Like, you know how in A-levels you get awards
like,
for, like,
most
likely to skin someone alive?
Yeah.
Curtis. What was your... Did you have one
no,
in your school?
We didn't do them.
Oh.
I went to an all-girls Catholic school, Emma. We don't do things like that.
I went to a mixed Catholic school, and I spent the whole time thinking that I was really misunderstood. But then on that night, they did that thing where they gave absolutely everyone an award. And I got most likely to make fun of this event, and then I had to...
And look at you now.
Well, then I had to be like, oh, fuck, I'm not misunderstood at all. All of these idiots just can see right through me. And I have to change my identity.
That's a lovely tale from your adolescence, Emma.
Thanks.
Moving on. Then it was time to get down to business. and Flack announced the order of the couples. The fourth place couple was announced as Curtis and Maura, which I'm not surprised about. Like, I think people really like Maura, and that's why they stayed in, because Maura, like, it really cannot be overstated, her impact. She really, like, put a fire under the arse of the season.
Yeah.
And has been consistently funny, consistently, like, arbiter of drama, which a show like this does need, and just is easily one, like, for me anyway, one of the best reality show contestants that has ever been on TV.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking back on it, and I actually thought that she came in way later than she did, but she came in like week two.
Yeah.
So, like, the level that she's managed to sustain that whole time is amazing.
Yeah, she's great. I'm such a big fan. I'm so excited for her to do more on TV, because I think she's so naturally charming that it's like a really natural career for her. Then Ovi and India were third, leaving Amber and Greg and Molly and Tommy to duke it out for first place. Shockingly, but also amazingly, Greg and Amber won.
Yeah, the noise in our living room when that was announced.
Yeah, I feel like probably like the neighbours would have, like, if it had gone on any longer, probably like rang the police. Yeah, sound like someone being strangled.
If I had a pint, I would have thrown it in the air, like,
yeah, like a football
World Cup style.
I feel like we nearly did a Mexican wave, yeah. Like, unintentionally. No, I was delighted. I was so happy. I like them both. I think Greg's really charming, and wish he'd been on it for longer, because I think he was a very positive force amongst the men, to be honest.
I agree.
The few times when something kind of did kick off, he stayed calm, also held people accountable without being weird about it.
Yeah, definitely. Just the simple line, what was your thought process
amazing.
Behind that?
Yes, when Curtis gave Jordan the advice to crack on to India without asking Anna, Greg was like, and what was your thought process behind that? And it was just like the most amazing.
It contained,
like,
so much within those few
exactly.
words.
Exactly, because also the way that he was sitting there, just like looking at him like dead in the eye, being like, what are you doing? And yeah, I wish he'd been in it for longer. And I think that, like, it is quite funny that someone who was in it for like 2 weeks won the money.
I know, I thought this. I was just like, you've been famous for like 5 days. Imagine like what... His life's completely changed now. He probably thought he was going to be in and out, as they usually are.
Yeah.
When they come in that late.
But I think him and Amber definitely had like a genuine little thing, didn't they? And
yeah, they very
I think it's really sweet, you know. There's lots of like screenshots going around on like Twitter and stuff of like, you know, the little moments of them like with their arms around each other looking, you know, really happy. I don't know. And obviously it is just a picture and stuff like that. But I think something that's like really marked Amber's time in the villa or whatever, and why she's people have warmed her so much, is how genuine she is about her own emotionality, even when that comes out badly, like Dead Ting famously.
Yeah.
But I don't really think she has ever been like particularly fake.
No. I don't think so either.
I don't think she... I think she's one of those people, because I sympathise, because I'm also like this. She has, like, a face whereby, like, you can read her immediately.
Yeah.
Like, and she's really bad at actually hiding how she feels.
Yeah.
So I think that when she does feel, like, positive about someone, like, it's really clear.
Mm.
And I don't know, I just feel like her and Greg's thing came off as so genuine, and I feel like it is.
Yeah.
Even though it's only, like, very early stages of liking someone, it's sweet.
So, yeah, at the end of it, then they had to do the Golden Balls pantomime of, like, splitting or stealing the money.
So stupid.
And Greg was given the choice, and he chose to split it, obviously, because if he didn't do that, he'd be the most hated man in Great Britain and Ireland.
Honestly, can you imagine... We discussed this last night in our home. The only time someone stealing the money would have been acceptable is if, like, Amber and Michael had somehow won, or if, like,
if
Maura
and Curtis
had somehow won. But, you know, these things would never happen, and they have to split the money. Like, this.
Yeah.
And also, 25 grand, come on. That's a pretty good payday.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an assumption that you have to, because the whole show is basically, like, a vote of public opinion.
Yeah.
So, like, if you win off the back of public opinion, that to then, like, steal the money would mean that you tank your career in a second.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole point of this show is, like, to get a career and to have the longevity of the followers and stuff like that. So, yeah. And that was Love Island 2019. I can't believe it.
I know. Finally, sweet, sweet freedom.
Yeah.
It's been
the old ball and chain.
It's been a year of more ups and downs than usual, with a pleasantly surprising couple of winners. So it seems like cause for an emotional breakdown.
This is the bit of the podcast where we, like Greg's touching poem about Amber's arse, share our feelings. Obviously, as this is the last episode, we'll be going for a more general overview of the events of the last 2 months. May I just reiterate, 2 months of my life. I can't believe it. I think, first of all, we've touched on it a little bit, but it's so nice to see deserving winners. And yeah. I wonder, Emma, riddle me this. Why is Greg and Amber winning so good?
I feel like Tommy and Molly Mae would have had the most... That's the most obvious win, right? They've sort of, they coupled up really early. They've had this very, like, Disney romance where he's the sort of, like, knight in shining armour figure.
Yeah, I feel like Tommy's entire, like, emotional inspiration comes from the song A Whole New World. Like,
yeah, they're just a classic
Love Island winners.
Heterosexual couple.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been understandable if they'd won, but boring.
Yeah.
And so Amber and Greg... It's amazing that they've won because I just felt like Amber especially just deserved it more because it's sort of like she's been rewarded for this like horrible journey that she's had to endure. And also, they're both just funnier, aren't they? I feel like they're more like, they've got more about them as people than like Tommy and Molly Mae.
Also, Amber's only 21 as well. Tommy and Molly are really young and I do feel like it's important because I think a lot of the time this sort of thing can turn into like a very like... one versus the other situation. And, you know, Tommy and Molly are a sweet pair of 20-year-olds
who,
like, represent a lot of things that are fairly boring or whatever. But, like, you know, it should just be, like, said. Because, I don't know, I feel you see a lot of, like, fairly mean stuff about Molly. Mm. And, you know, she's a young girl and she just went on TV and now she's going to have a really great career and I think fucking good for her. I do just want to say that that is the podcast position because, like, it's easy to be like, oh, Tommy and Molly, blah, the crap, boring choice. And, you know, yeah, they were, but they're also nice people. Like, if they'd won, it would have been fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they won, I would have been like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
But this, I've had an emotion about which is interesting. It's not what
I think
was
it's because, like, as you said, we're not used to public votes going in any way interesting a way.
Well, I mean, but it felt like vindication.
Yeah.
As much as, you know, Tommy and Molly Mae are very, very sweet together, they've got an incredible brand together already as a unit. They're going to do really well together. But Amber in particular, I think, is who the vote was for.
Yeah.
And Greg for basically being like a nice, normal man and crucially not Michael.
I agree.
People's true colours really come out in a crisis.
Yeah.
And she really handled all the stuff with Michael like amazingly.
I think she's great. I want her to like have a programme where she sorts people's lives out and I want to be a contestant on it. I think we should have a look back at one of the defining features of the series about all the men who played themselves because there have been so many.
Yeah, imagine this is like a PowerPoint reel of like all of these wistful photos of men like in the middle of making a terrible mistake.
Like Michael, obviously, you know, we've talked about it lots and it's not really worth going into again, but I do feel like Michael and Amber would really have had a shot at winning.
They would have, yeah. And it was just, it was so, like, tragic to see him try to claw it back final moments. I was like, just don't, man. It's so obvious why you're
really,
doing
like,
this.
Yeah, he really, like, he really degraded himself, in my opinion. And I think she saw that and it must have been fairly like, you know, when you're her, it's pretty unattractive actually to see someone like crawl back that way. I don't know, man.
If you're gonna be the villain, don't come like simpering home later with your tail between your legs.
According to the tabloids, Michael and Joanna are now back together, shocking nobody. So that shows how real his feelings for Amber were. Also Jordan, like, I would say, like, he went out in a blaze of glory, but what the fuck is the opposite of that? Like, a fizzle of, like, shame.
Whenever they get their comeuppances, these men all have exactly the same face, and it's this sort of, like, this vacant stare and this smile.
Yeah.
While they're sort of saying, like, yeah, it's fine, this is, like, the best moment I could have left on, when they're, like, withering inside.
Yeah, and also Anna, God bless her, giving us some of the finest Love Island footage we've ever seen. Are you that fucking idiot? What a legend. Like, I will never get over it.
And then obviously Curtis, with Amy in the beginning, also would have had a shot of winning together.
I think they were the original people who we thought was going to win. Although I do feel like looking back, that might have had a little bit of an expiration date on it.
I mean, there was definitely one anyway, like just before they split up, where it was sort of being like, you all need to get out of other people's relationships. You're both being really annoying.
Agreed. But yeah, like, I feel like it was a weird series of people running themselves over.
Yeah, it's been a real house of cards this year. Just people chopping and changing all the time. all to play for.
Truly. And off the back of that, one thing that I do think is quite interesting and something that we've seen over the course of the series is women just like standing up for themselves, you know, talking about what they deserve, what they will accept and what they won't. I've written a little bit about this on the website also. There's a piece today also which is sort of about this too, so please click vice.com. I wonder, yeah, is this the work of like pop feminism? Has this finally filtered through, women kind of knowing their worth and not accepting no man, you yeah. know what I mean? I don't know, like,
yeah, I think so. I actually think that all of these sentiments were there anyway, but I do feel like pop feminism is sort of like stoked the fires yeah. a bit, or like made women sort of maybe feel like less shy or less sort of like uncomfortable about asserting themselves.
Yeah. I agree, and I think that often pop feminism is derided and eye-rolled at, and I'm one of the first to do it a lot of the time, but I think in this case like we can really see its value.
Yeah,
and obviously that's also not to like deride anyone's understanding of feminism in the show, you know, I'm not trying to say that they only understand these like simple platitudes, but I am saying that like we are seeing a mainstream that is more familiar with basic feminist tenets than ever, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And I think like the show has shown how good that can be, actually. Mm. And you know, we have seen consistently women deciding that they will not let men treat them the way that they attempt to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's been really good to watch, and I think if you're a teenager watching that, there's a lot worse things you could be seeing.
Anyway, well, there's no more Intervilla action to comment on anymore because it's over. We do have a new batch of islanders being set free into the world, so how do you think they're going to fare? I think let's investigate that in Pretty Little Predictions.
So the big question is, who's going to drop the first range, girls?
Molly May.
Yeah, Molly May's range is coming out in 1 week. on like 4 different fast fashion websites at once.
Yeah.
Fair play to her. She, to be honest, like I think she's done an incredibly smart thing. She's really stylish. Her Instagram anyway was great. And she looks fantastic, like, whenever she's on screen. Mm. She really, like, it feels like she's, like, born to do yeah. influencing a bit.
I know, I can really see her as a vlogger, yeah. like, so hard. Yeah. I want to see, like, a 15-minute proposal video from her and Tommy where it's, like, filmed from, like, various drones.
Yeah. I also feel like Danny Dyer was a weird one to drop the In the Style range, just because, like, she wasn't necessarily... I love Danny Dyer, but she wasn't necessarily known for her, like, style or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Banter.
Whereas, like... Molly is probably going to do extremely well because everyone's followed her because they really like her outfits
yeah.
and they think she looks great all the time. So I think that this is like a perfect fit and she's going to do really, really well.
Definitely.
And I hope she doesn't do it with a fast fashion website, but I think she probably will. But
Ovi's going to be a model, 100%.
Yeah, I hope so. He's a really successful one. Amber's gonna like probably like open her own beauty salon, which also offers Reiki,
yeah,
which I'll be going to Newcastle for immediately.
Yeah, I'm gonna move there.
And yeah, I feel like there's lots of opportunities for the islanders this year.
Yeah. One thing that they've announced is that there's now going to be 2 Love Islands a year, one hosted in South Africa.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I think, early next year. For me, it's a no. It's Simon Cowell, Britain's Got Talent, no from me, unfortunately.
It's overkill, isn't it?
It's overkill. I get really actually upset and annoyed when TV networks do this. They have like a success and then they get greedy.
Yeah.
Firstly, they really ought to be putting their attention on making the experience for contestants as good as it possibly can be.
Yeah.
Because obviously they've had fucking trouble in the past doing that. And they have not perfected it yet. There's issues still. And they shouldn't be making it twice, because when you do it twice also, like, your processes necessarily are not going to be as good.
If they've got one in January, they're already going to be thinking about that and thinking less about the current contestants coming out.
Exactly. That sucks. And, like, you know, obviously this is conjecture and maybe we've got it all wrong and they do have, like, a much more set out aftercare programme. I don't know, because they're not forthcoming with that information.
Yeah.
But I think that for a show that has been plagued by the tragedy that this show has, they like really ought to be fucking careful.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's that appropriate actually to be like, yeah, we're going to do it twice now. Like more people to, you know, put through this thing that's really emotionally draining. And obviously people are volunteering and obviously they get loads of good stuff at the end of it. But also it has been proven, not just by, you know, the contestants who tragically died, but by a lot of other contestants who've struggled afterwards too, that this is a hard experience and putting more people through it before you've got it right.
Yeah.
In like having it once a year, I don't think it's a good idea, personally.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea.
But also, from the part of the viewers, it's not going to be as exciting.
Crucial question, though. The biggest question of all, perhaps. Mm. What are we going to do with all our free time?
I've not thought about it, and I don't wish to think about it. I don't know what I'm going to do at 9 p.m. every night.
Yeah, I felt a bit, like, hysterical thinking about it last night. I was just like, as someone who obviously lives in London where free time is, like, a coveted treasure anyway, I was like, oh my god, like, the realms of possibility.
Whole hour.
I did that thing where I was like, maybe I'll learn a language. Yeah. Maybe I'll
Me, like, I'm gonna write my novel, like, in this hour every night. Like,
me in there in, like, the final credits, like, re-downloading Duolingo for the fifth time. It's not gonna happen. I'm gonna watch other crap TV,
yeah,
obviously.
Exactly. What about your withdrawal symptoms, Emma?
I think I'm just going to start like I have every single other year. I'll just start talking like them now. And like the way that they speak has just become the way that I speak about things.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to start shouting at loads of men because I won't have my daily dose of like...
Yeah. Mercifully though, not saying Bev or Bevy or Bevnish.
Oh God. I can't believe
it's like a bad flashback, isn't it?
Yeah, why did you bring that back at the final hurdle?
I know. I'm sorry, everyone. And on that note... That's it from Vice's Love Island for today and indeed for this whole year. If you managed to listen to us even once, we're very glad that you could join us and we hope that you've enjoyed listening to us screeching about friendship and terrible men for the past 2 months.
On that note, I'd also like to extend a thank you to Apple user Dan Vinci, who gave us a 1-star review on iTunes for always saying that the men are wrong. I feel like I've done my job.
Thanks, Dan. Vice Does Love Island is produced by Eva Krisiak and it is a Vice UK production.
If you enjoyed the podcast, you can still rate it on iTunes, except you, Dan, or your preferred podcast provider.
Additionally, if you were into it, please send emails, endorsement offers and other gifts to Vice so they let us do it again.
Bye!
See you, babes! Yeah.